Breaking news to bring you on Talk Sport.
You've been listening to Windrush 75.
I've got someone here that would like to say hello.
That is one that I will definitely give away for the Prince of Wales. Oh, there you go.
The Radio Academy Festival 2024. Impact amplified.
Hello and welcome to a Radio Festival 2024 special of the Radio Academy podcast. I'm Sean Thorne. This is the second of three special episodes bringing you highlights, insight and delights from the three stages at this year's Radio Festival.
The Radio Academy Festival is such a highlight of the year.
I mean, what I've seen so far has been incredible. The speakers have been incredible.
Let's welcome to the stage winner of the ARIA's Best Music Entertainment Show Radio 2, Scott Mills.
You can't kill off radio, and that's why I love the Radio Festival.
If you've stumbled across this episode first, then no stress, you can listen to any of these special episodes in any order you like, so no need to skip back and forth. You're fine right where you are. On this episode, we're going to be hearing from Trevor Nelson, Nick Gandy, Spotify's Johnny Mouncer, and Laura Smith. The first stop is the ARIA stage. All speakers on this stage are ARIA gold winners, and our first chat is with Trevor Nelson, who won gold for Best Live Event, where he talks to Ben Coley in the very fancy Royal College of Physicians Treasures Room. It's proper Indiana Jones vibes. Gives everyone a very nice, warm, golden, regal glow. It's very, very fancy. So imagine that as Ben's chatting to Trevor.
This is the Radio Academy Festival podcast. I'm Ben Coley. I'm joined by someone that needs no introduction, Trevor Nelson. Trevor, I loved your chat. Now, you've been trailblazing since the 80s, since the Mad Hatter days.
Yeah.
How do you still connect with an audience? You know, you've been doing what you've been doing at the highest level for decades. How do you still connect? How do you move with the audience as time goes on?
Well, I'll tell you, the first 5 or 10 years, I weren't very good at it. I'm serious. The first few years, certainly my whole pirate radio, I think it's a journey, right? So the first few years, it was all about me, what I'm doing, and sounding as disinterested, because we thought we were cool by sounding disinterested. Like, yeah, that was that, and that was this, we're doing something cool tonight, and we're doing something cooler tomorrow, you know. That's just alienating people, and it took a while for me to realise that. When I got my first legal break on Kiss, when we became legal in the early 90s, I started learning on the job, you know. Connectivity is really important, and I was being exclusive rather than inclusive, and that's the key. You've got to find a way of being inclusive with your audience, relatable. So, let's be honest, not every single presenter lives like their listeners, all right, does the same thing their listeners do. So you find common ground. If the common ground's music, then let it be music, let it be the way. If it's other things, I mean... It's really difficult to say as a presenter, other than I think I straddle specialist and mainstream quite well. I think that's where my niche is. I think if you listen to my shows, they sound like specialist R&B and hip-hop shows, or a specialist soulful show, like on Radio 2, but I'm still very everyday about it. You know, I think you can be in your little cocoon if too much, and you've got to open up. So I like football, I like golf, I've got a dog, I've got a cat, I've got fish, I've got... I'm normal. Normal problems. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for my show. I try to be more honest as I've got older, and I think that is what's kept me more connected. I think I'm not trying to be the kid I was when I first started. I'm not trying to cling on to my youth. I'm accepting aging, and I'm accepting that I'm not as cool as I thought I used to be, you know what I mean? And I think invariably people say, well, that makes you pretty cool then, because you're honest, you're authentic. And yeah, I think authenticity for me is what I do.
So obviously a lot of your chat on the ARIA stage was about the Windrush 75 coverage for BBC Radio 2.
Yeah.
You said, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. What were those very key moments that you think, yeah, that's really going to stay with me? Because I'm sure there were a few moments like that.
Yeah, there were. It was a very emotional night for me, I'm not going to lie. I think the very beginning when I walked out on stage will stick with me. Just looking out at the Royal Albert Hall with an audience that I'm sure they don't normally have in there. You know, there's not a reason for most of that crowd to be in the Royal Albert Hall. Some of them at times, but not how they were congregated. It was a beautiful mixture of people. I think Selena Godden's spoken word really hit home a lot. And just all the music was just, it was so real. The stuff I curated was just off the top of my head, stuff that impacted me. And if you think about songs, if you have to go and research a playlist, if I said to you, make your favourite playlist of 20 songs.
Sure.
It'll probably take you a day. Because you don't want to miss out anything, you want to, you know. But if I said, no, you're not
allowed. I take it so seriously.
You're not allowed a day, you're allowed 10 minutes. You've got to do it in 10 minutes. You can do it because the songs that mean the most to you are always at the forefront of your, what I mean? And that's, so just seeing them come to life. But I would say the spoken word bit is the bit that really stuck with me. And I think the very end. When we took our bow and we didn't want to get off stage, no one wanted to leave the stage. It was just because they knew it was a unique audience that we'll never probably see the like of again, that combination of audience.
Absolutely. What does the Radio Academy Festival mean to you, and how important do you think it is for the future of the radio industry when it comes to connecting and when it comes to trying to, you know, break down barriers to entry?
Well, it's brilliant for those who sneak in and get a bird's eye view on what a lot of us do. This industry is not about just household name DJs and broadcasters. This industry is more about local broadcasters and people who just have a passion for broadcasting, right? And I would say to anybody, you know, I always answer long questions, but the first time I was in a radio studio, I weren't actually in the studio, I was outside, and I watched a very famous DJ. I'm not going to mention any names, but he was broadcasting and I listened to him at home sometimes, and I saw that Neumann mic and I heard the richness of his voice and I could see him doing it, and the buzz for me was just insane because I thought radio has always been the best medium, you know, by far. So I think anybody young or aspiring that wants to get into radio, if they can get a chance to get exposed to some of these incredible talks and, you know, getting behind the scenes, understanding that when you do a radio show, I think my mantra would be every show's got to be as good as if it's your last show. You've got to put it in. You can't just turn up for work. That's what's kept me in the game. The work ethic, just because it's radio and it's broadcasting, it doesn't mean it's show business. You know, we've been the backbone of show business and the media for a century now, before television. And we're still as big as we ever were. Everybody said radio was going to be gone or irrelevant now because of streaming, because of this, because of that, because of podcasts. It's as big as it's ever been.
Yeah.
Explain that. And I think this is another key thing I'd say to people who ever get a chance to be in radio. A lot of people use radio as another string to their bow. That's what I'm finding now. Oh, yeah, I do radio, I do podcasts, I do stuff. I've got my YouTube channel, I do this, I do that. About 10 things. Everyone likes to show off that they can do 10 things. In my day, it was one thing. You do radio or you do TV. If you're lucky, you do both. Or you do something else. You're a club DJ, you do it. And I was always a radio geek in that way. And to think we're still this popular 20 years on, I'm shocked. So it's the best industry to get into. It's not, you're not judged on your appearance. You're judged on your substance. Radio is my number one and by far the most important thing I'll ever do.
Hi, my name's David. I'm a content creator for BFBS. I'm here at the Radio Academy Festival today. And my favourite show was Trevor Nelson talking about the Windrush. So he helped create, there was a concept about Windrush. And he was coming at it from the perspective of how Windrush, before it was known for the scandal and everything, was actually a good thing. I mean, it meant other people could come to this country and were given opportunities. But he hosted this event. It was a big concert celebrating all the different, like, Windrush generation music. And he brought in, like, Craig David and all these different artists. He won a Gold Arias Award for it. And he was just really well-spoken. He was really charismatic. He told us a lot of stories about how we got the different artists on board to perform this concert. It was really interesting to hear him talk about it, and he's really genuinely warm, lovely character. So yeah, it was really great to listen to him speak today.
I said, Craig, you can spit, you know. What do you mean? I can spit. I need a little MC, and I want some of that culture in there.
So I thought that it's going to go straight over their heads anyway. There's going to be no one in there who even understands really real contemporary music. When he went up there and did Rewind, I saw walking sticks going in the air, right? Honestly, there's footage somewhere, and when he goes, when the crowd say bowl, all these overrated were going, Selector! Like, and he, the joy on his face, you can imagine he's normally in a Ibiza or Magaluf or someone doing that. The joy on this guy's face was unbelievable.
A big thanks to Trevor and Ben, and to all of you as well who stopped to have a chat with our producers, Shan and Adam, about the impact some of the sessions had on you. That was very much appreciated. We're now going to be off to the festival stage, where we talk to Nick Gandhi, the marketing manager from Fresh Air, who was part of an excellent session about the rise of the Podfluencer. So we're going to be heading out to our little makeshift podcast garden. We're replacing the golden glow of the Treasures Room with the golden glow of the sunshine. Remember when that was a thing? Where Nick is going to be chatting to Juliet from Pineapple Productions.
You were saying this is one of the first kind of talks or panel talks that you've done.
Yes.
How was it?
Yeah, it was really good, actually. I think my fear coming into it was that I just wouldn't be able to remember anything about what I do for a living or anything that I noted down. But I think what I've come to realise is that things that, as someone who works in the podcast industry space, and especially branded podcasts, there's things that we talk about every day and things that we probably take for granted in our roles that are valuable to people who might not necessarily be as close to the production and marketing process as well. So I think marketing within the podcast space is still really in its infancy, and it's growing, and it's still trying to catch up with other forms of marketing. So for someone who comes from a radio background and or a podcast background that is trying to get to grips with the marketing side of podcasts, they're not only trying to play catch up to people who have careers in marketing, but marketers are also trying to play catch up with the rest of digital advertising.
Yeah, exactly. And having the likes of Spotify and Acast and Bounce off, that was kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, both Spotify and Acast are absolute behemoths in the industry. So it was really nice to have Nick and Summer there up there as well, sharing their insight, which is aside from my point of view, from coming from branded podcasts, seeing how they talk and think about the commercials around their shows is quite different. You know, sales for them can really be a very thing that they're getting involved with, whereas for us, we're just producing branded content and making sure that that's as big and as and the best it can be.
Yeah, it was nice to hear those different perspectives as well when they kind of interplay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other highlights that you, anything else you want to kind of go back to that you spoke about?
I think if there was one takeaway from what I was saying that I'd like to stick with the audience, it was that the presenter of a show has to be the right fit. And I can definitely see the temptation for if you're an influencer, if you've got a social profile to have your own podcast. And I'm by no means saying that that's a bad thing, but I think making sure that the brands that you work with are aligned to your own values, your own personality, your own personal brand is so important, because if those are at odds, the audience will see through it straight away. It's oversaid and it's cliche, but authenticity really is king. So.
Talking of audience, how were you hoping to kind of impact the audience that are here today? It's obviously radio, audio people. Where were you hoping to go with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, money can be a dirty word in anything in life, but especially in audio. But I think what's changing with time is that people are becoming a lot more commercially savvy, and that's both from both sides of the coin, both from the influencer side and the publisher side. So I think we really need to embrace brands' involvement with audio. And I think that is something that's happening in the industry, because as I said earlier, podcasting is really still in an infancy of sorts. And there's a lot of articles and talk about how podcasting is growing up. And with that comes the maturing and realizing that the commercial size and brand's involvement is really pivotal in the industry.
Events like this, connecting in person, seeing people in real life, how important is that? Yeah.
It's really important. Yeah, absolutely. So personally, I live in Brighton as well. A lot of audio is in London. And I think that is probably also changing, obviously, with more events up north and in other cities as well. But I think, yeah, absolutely. Having these in-person events where you get to meet the rest of the industry, sometimes you get to put faces to names that you've been talking to for years. That's really lovely. And there's, yeah, people I've met already today that I've been aware of in the industry. I didn't know they were aware of me, but it turns out they were. And it's a great opportunity to have these talks, to share knowledge with, there's so many people who come from different backgrounds in podcasting, whether that's radio, TV, marketing, advertising, that coming together and sharing that knowledge in person and getting to see how everyone's still so friendly is really important to how healthy the industry is.
So my name's Vicky, I'm a producer at Crowd Network, and my favourite talk of the day has been Rise of the Podfluencer on the festival stage. So I think as a producer, what made the talk really exciting was that we were asking what both the producer and the presenter can do in order to make ad partnerships more successful. I think as the producer, sometimes you shoulder all of the responsibility, and it was really nice to hear from someone who is a presenter the fact that they understand that they have a responsibility as well to make an ad partnership go well. I thought it really encouraged the importance of teamwork in creating a podcast or a radio show and the ad opportunities that come from that.
What, in your opinion, makes a successful branded podcast then?
So I think something that we often ask a brand is, what's the podcast only you can make? So I think, the strength of podcast to me is within the niche communities, and lots of the brands we work with know their niche and they know their audience, so they know what kind of podcast and what kind of content what can produce that their competitors might not necessarily be able to do. And I think that's really at the heart of what makes a successful branded podcast, so that even if it's an incredibly light touch, you might not even hear the brand's name within the show, the audience is still getting some really valuable content that enriches their day.
Next up is the Impact Stage. Loads of great sessions here. This one was one we had a lot of good feedback from. It was the Getting Into Radio talk. The vibe being that there was a lot of value coming out of this session for people, no matter where they were in their careers. Sharon Bodu had a chat with one of the speakers, Johnny Mouncer, who started his career off in community radio in Gloucester and is now the partnerships lead at Spotify.
So looking back on your journey, what are the three or more qualities you think really helped you to break into the industry?
I'd say the first one is probably perseverance. I think being able to keep the kind of, getting a lot of rejections, but keeping going. And obviously, you're always going to get more no's than yeses at the very start, for sure. I think the key thing with that is kind of making sure that you're always going back with the same energy. That's another one. Energy is really key. I think if you're going back with the same energy and giving people that kind of, it's almost like every time that you see someone again, it's like the first time you've met. Because for them, realistically, at the start of your journey, they're probably not going to remember who you are necessarily. They might if you're lucky. But I think going back with that sort of same level of energy and enthusiasm every time is something which is really helpful. So there's probably three things in there. I think the other part of it is finding the people who believe in you, finding someone who is willing to champion you. I was very lucky when I got into the BBC. I had a brilliant kind of mentor and someone who got me in, a guy called Steve Kitchen, who is a brilliant presenter, but also took the time to kind of read the email that I'd sent him, where I was talking about how I'd love to get into the BBC and do some work experience. His kind of recommendation onto the people who run that work experience scheme was pivotal in everything that I did.
For someone trying to break into the industry, sometimes it's hard to keep the drive and the passion, but then also want to monetize your content and make money out of it. So how do you think the person can balance the two so that one does not override the other, and it doesn't become more business than passion, and it doesn't become more passion than business, and there's like a fine balance between the two?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Sharon. I think like the thing that is key there is that you have to focus on being consistent as a creator first. You have to make sure that you've got an idea which is sustainable, that you can do, you know, ideally every week, or you know, you can keep putting out there, that you love enough to do that with. When that happens, you'll probably find two things. One, it's easy to keep it consistent, and two, the chance of you growing your audience are heavily increased. If you're releasing things sporadically, if you're kind of popping up here and there, but it's no consistency to it, you're going to really, really struggle to build that audience. Then in terms of kind of monetization, it's very much a case of, okay, I now have that kind of core audience that I've built and I've focused spending time on that. How can I monetize this best? And there's tons of ways to do that. You've obviously got podcasting, for example. We have Spotify Podcasters where you can monetize your content via that platform. You can also start a Patreon, for example, and kind of have that gated content that you put away that you start to charge for. When you've got this audience that are so interested in what you're doing, they're more than likely to come through for that content and actually pay for it. So, you know, I'd say like the first part is the consistency part, and like, you know, I'd also say like that can sometimes take 1 month, that for kind of maybe, let's say, people with that existing following. If you don't have an existing following, that might take you 6 months, that might take you a year. And it's so important to stay consistent then so that you can do the monetization well later.
What are some of the tips you can give to people trying to break into the industry when they attend programs like this one? What are some of the things they should look out for? What should they do in order to push them further into breaking into the industry?
Well, it's a small industry in terms of personnel, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing because it means that you actually do know the people more often than not that are kind of running these companies, that are maybe hiring, that are looking at building out production teams, etc. That's a good thing. That means you can get in front of those people. That means you probably know someone within kind of 2-3 degrees of connection where you can email them. You can at least get in front of that person. That's really important that you can do that. And I think the other side of that is not being afraid to ask for help. There's very, very few people, if you reach out and say, I need some help with this or I need some help with that, that are going to turn around and say no. And just making sure that you're asking them the right person for the right kind of help, because there's a lot of people who I'm sure would love to help you but don't have what you need right now. Maybe they don't have the tools, maybe they don't have the time, maybe they don't have the job right now. And I'd say to people who are maybe at the start of their careers, it's really about building those connections, asking the questions to the people about, you know, can we just have a chat? I'd just like to understand what's important for your business, what the direction is going forward, what you're making, what's coming up. You know, if you ask for a job, more often than not, the answer is going to be, I don't have anything right now. And that's the end of that conversation. And you don't want an end to that conversation. You want the questions to be flowing in such a way that you build a rapport with that person. You can then go back to them. They're then in your network. If you just go out and ask people for jobs, you're going to get a no, and they're not going to ever speak to you again until you ask them if they've got any jobs again in the future. So, you know, I think we've got to be really smart around how we communicate with people who maybe can unlock those opportunities in the future. And I think that's where people will start to see some success.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So my name's Iona. I'm a freelancer at LBC Radio and also freelance producer. I have listened to a few talks today. They've all been really good. There were two that I went to. One was talking about like the general election and how that was affected by TikTok, which I found really interesting because it's kind of like taps into my generation. And so that was very useful. And then there was one on getting into the radio industry, which even though I've sort of half got a foot in the door, it's always useful to have advice on that when you're this age, which is early 20s. My highlight was probably the advice they had, which was just create.
John, what about you? What's something that you wish you'd known?
I wish someone told me that you can make money in non-linear ways, and that you don't have to be commissioned or you don't have to be working for a company necessarily to kind of make money from what you do and from your skill set. There are tons of people out there who will pay you for your skill set. They want your skills, and you should be open to getting in front of those people, telling them what you can do, showing them what you can do. You know, I think like now more than ever, there's tons of people who are desperate to get into this industry in terms of talent, in terms of businesses, in terms of kind of branded content. Like, there aren't enough people, or they haven't found those people who can make that happen. They're all here. They're probably all here in this room. They're probably all here today. And, you know, I'd say don't bog yourself into kind of these linear ways of thinking about your career and where you can use your skills to make money. There's tons of ways in which you can do that.
Our final interview that we have for you now. We're back off to the Treasures Room for our second visit to the Arias stage. Ben Coley chats to the winner of Best Comedy at the Arias, Laura Smith.
This is the Radio Academy Festival podcast. I'm Ben Coley, and I'm here with the wonderful and incredibly inspiring Laura Smith, the award-winning comedian and writer and also host of I Don't Know What to Say. I can only imagine making it as a comic, whatever the term making it means these days, must be so difficult, so cutthroat, so competitive. How do you create an impact as a comic when there's so many other people pursuing comedy doing that? How do you stand out and make an impact as a comic?
I think I've had quite a lot of success very quickly, and I think I don't think my rhythms are very different. You know, I think that a lot of people maybe fall into sort of similar rhythms or similar subjects and categories, and I think I cut through all of that, so that's good. I think it's also like anything, you've got to sort of get your blinkers on. You've got to bring it all back to yourself and trust your instincts about what you're doing and distill who you are, and no one can compete with that. No one can be better at being Laura Smith than Laura Smith.
Yeah.
And I think social media can get us feeling in the sort of category of sort of in the sort of mode of compare and despair, and actually most people are just trying to do what they're doing, you know. And I think stick to what you're doing and stick to what you do best. I think you can watch people doing a certain type of podcast or social media reel, or, and you think, oh, well, I'll follow that. And if you start getting that mindset, you've got to keep that in check. You've got to really go, well, what do I find funny? What do I like doing? And then you can't go far wrong.
And you spoke so candidly about your cancer diagnosis. Mm. And I think it's amazing how you managed to draw humour out of it, and, you know, you put a real sharp focus on it. When you're faced with something that heavy, words almost mean nothing. So how did words cut through for you?
Sometimes people made an assumption of what you needed or what you wanted someone to say, and actually just saying, how are you today? How's it all going? And asking the questions and being present. You'd be surprised how few people risked just saying that and just wanted to say, oh, it'll be all right. Don't, you know, you don't have to jump in to assuage their fears. You don't have to jump in with another example. You stay where they are. You stay present, and all your friends, and don't make assumptions. I've got a friend that's going through it, and she's stage four, and she had a group of pals that sort of didn't invite her somewhere, thinking she wouldn't want to do, or didn't ask her to chip into another friend's 40th birthday present. And she was like, hang on, I'm still me, you know. And actually, I find actually most things you go through in life, most people don't change. You know, they still want to go to the pub, or they still want to have a drink, and they still want to be themselves. So I think that's it. I think to be present and hear where they're at is always good.
And finally, we're here at the Radio Academy Festival, a huge, big, fat celebration of all things radio. Has radio tapped into this new level of connection for you with other people?
Yeah, absolutely, because I think there's such a glut of content and visuals and streaming services. And one thing I think, especially where, even if you want to argue about telly, Britain still does well, is radio. I think BBC Radio is just great, and all radio, because it's always accessible. It's so nice to have something on a walk or a run, and it feels really intimate because you're talking to that person individually. There's no other distraction in a world full of distractions, and you can just listen, and it's such a direct thing. And I think people really feel a sense of I was talking directly to them, and I know I feel like that when I've heard things, when someone says you must listen to this. I've always felt like it's connected in a way more than anything sort of visual on television. You know, Desert Island Discs will have me crying quicker than any
me too
anything else, and when people can explore a subject so well.
Hi, I'm Sholope Alatiche. I'm an assistant producer at Times Radio and Talk, and today I was producing one of the sessions. It was the Comedy Gold session, and it was Laura Smith. It was so fantastic. I really enjoyed producing it. I really enjoyed watching it kind of be delivered as well. What was most poignant about it was the fact that this was a very difficult subject to talk about. I mean, she's talking about a cancer diagnosis and living with it, and, you know, how she managed to do that and how she managed to make light of it, actually. It was very heartbreaking to listen to, but also there were lots of belly laughs as well. I think she really made the best of her circumstances, and she's used comedy to share that with people, really.
Thank you to Ben Coley, and thank you to Laura Smith and all the speakers and session producers who helped us get these interviews together. A big thank you as well to the aforementioned Ben Coley, Juliet Nichols, Sharon Bodu, Adam Skin and Shannon Hackwood for all their help on this podcast and at the festival itself. And as always, thank you most of all to you for listening. This is number 2 of 3 special episodes bringing you wisdom and insight from the radio festival. If you haven't been to the radio festival before, I genuinely recommend going to check it out and the other Radio Academy events. It's a really great opportunity to connect with some talented folks across the industry. We've got another episode coming next week for you. And if you haven't listened to episode 1, then do go back and check that out, where we hear from Scott Mills, Adrian Durham, Kat Shube, and loads more. Subscribe to this channel so you don't miss an episode, and I will see you next time.